Let's go back to Thursday on this Ask the Mayor, and we lost power at 2 p.m. The transmission line from Duke, that was the culprit.
Yes, it was, Steve. And I was on my way back from Franklin when I got the news from our town manager. Tried to call you to let people know that we had lost power throughout the whole town. The transmission line that carries the power that Duke generates at the Thorpe plant over by the Tuckasegee River on North Carolina 107, between there and the cashier's connection, something happened to their line. They think they had multiple lightning strikes that just shut down that line, and they had to kind of reroute the power. As you know, about 2 years ago, there was a terrible accident where a dump truck was unloading its load, and it hit that transmission line, and the whole system went down for several hours. So that's the kind of thing that will happen from time to time. I do want to give a shout out of appreciation, though, to one group. That's the Highlands Police Force. When I came back into town, it was raining. The power was shut down, so no stoplight signals were working. And they were out there in their rain gear directing traffic at those critical stoplight intersections. And I just thought it was really great to know that our police force came out in mass to make sure that we could keep traffic flowing as best as possible.
With this storm, Fred, that's developing in the Gulf there, maybe it's time to go over town protocols and what to do if we lose some power?
Thank you for bringing that up, Steve. That is always a challenge. And when we lost power, we were inundated at the town hall, which is fine, with people saying, I've lost power. And we were trying to handle those calls as best we could. Also, we had people calling 911, and that's not the place to call. If you lose power, if it's during the business day, you can call town hall. But my suggestion is just to step back and wait. Usually when one customer or a small group of customers have lost power, we know about it. And we certainly know about it when there's the widespread outage. Our town manager coordinated with Warren Cave of Emergency Management Services in Macon County. And Warren pretty quickly sent out a code red, letting them know that the main transmission line from Duke had been shut down. Now, the code red system is something that everybody can sign up for simply by going to the Macon County website. And there will be a button where you can go and sign up for Code Red. And that just means that when there is an emergency, if it's going to be a threatening storm, a tornado, or a power outage, Emergency Management Services of Macon County sends out a blanket Code Red to everyone on their list. And when you lose power, if you don't get a Code Red fairly soon, then certainly consider calling Town Hall, but don't call 911.
Let's go back to Friday. Of course, we're taping this on Friday. A COVID party, and well-deserved.
That's right. It's a party for all the volunteers that operated the Highlands Cashiers Plateau Vaccination Initiatives and all of the clinics that were put on. It will be at the Bascom. I'll have the honor of presenting a recognition plaque that the town board approved, a resolution commending all of the volunteers that stepped forward and helped operate those critical vaccination clinics. I will also be doing a mayor's proclamation recognizing an individual who basically provided the leadership and the expertise to make these clinics possible. And that is the executive director of the Highlands Cashiers Hospital, Tom Neal, who stepped forward as soon as those vaccines were available and started organizing these clinics and made sure that they were run professionally and as smoothly as possible. And also, I will declare as of Saturday Tom Neal Appreciation Day, because it's well deserved. Tom and Robin, his wife, they have become great citizens of this plateau community, and it's a well-deserved recognition.
And since we're on the COVID-19, we're waiting, of course, on the governor and the state's issuance of any changes in our mask mandate or whatever it might be.
It's kind of alarming to see the positive rate of testing increasing every day, and the number of cases seem to be multiplying to an alarming rate. So we will be expecting the state to provide guidance and leadership in addressing this new upsurge in COVID-19 with the Delta variant. And it's kind of ironic, isn't it, that we've had this party recognizing what we did as a community of volunteers to address vaccinating as many people as possible. And it looks like plans are now underway to resume vaccination clinics as needed. I won't go into any details, but I know that Tom and all of the people that were involved in that, the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation, they're making contingency plans because we are all concerned that we might be in a real serious spread of COVID as we go into the fall.
Before we get to some of the agenda on Thursday's town board meeting, you met with the Mirror Lake Association and Pat Gleason.
I, along with our town engineer, Lamar Nix, and our town manager, met with Pat and his group this past Thursday morning and got a briefing from them about some plans and strategies for addressing the issue of dredging Mirror Lake. I just want to say that as the mayor, I would support any kind of partnership that we could form with the Mirror Lake Homeowners Association in securing external funding, such as state or federal grants that might help move this process along. There have been some things that the town's already been doing in relation to Mirror Lake now for a number of years. One, we had that program where we were putting people around the lake on the sewer and not relying on septic systems so close to the lake. We also have been paving roads, and we just repaved Colasager Drive all the way to the bridge. Those kind of paving initiatives help reduce the wash off of unpaved roads into the lake. We have one on the agenda for next year, and that would be that extension of Colasager Drive, which goes around the lake. It's unpaved. The plan would be to pave that part and improve the drainage in our next cycle of paving. Company representative for the dredging company pointed out, there's not any one source of sedimentation. It comes from everywhere and from all sources. And also, once you do the dredging, he emphasized, you need to have a plan to maintain control of sediment as best you can. One of the areas that we're looking at is up on some of the roads above the lake that are now controlled, owned by the state. We'd be willing to work with the state in addressing those unpaved roads.
And where are we with the hot wire contract, and it's going to be sent to the commissioners?
Our attorneys were still in discussions and negotiations trying to refine certain points of contention with the contract. Our attorneys were striving for was to get some resolution of some items in the contract. They could then bring a draft of that to the town board, let them have a week or so to review and digest what's in the contract, and then have a meeting. We were hoping that the meeting would be this Thursday, a part of the regular meeting. As of the taping of this show, there were still a few little items that needed to be addressed. Therefore, we couldn't get it to the commissioners in a timely manner. And I believe the next step will be when we get a contract from our attorney saying we've resolved what we think are the critical issues, that will be shared with the town board members. They'll have about a week or so to look at it. If they have questions, those can be asked. And then we'll probably have a special meeting at some point in time to where we sit down as the entire board with our town attorney and look at that contract and take action. You know, upon approval of that contract, then Hotwire would come in, take over the network, and start planning their operations and serving customers.
Okay, Thursday, and the agenda, and part of that, and representatives from the Food and Wine Festival, and hopefully things will all go as planned, but and here we go in November.
Well, I appreciate that. They always now come every year to give us an update and let us know exactly what they're doing. I anticipate the same happening this year, too.
How about the land use compliance?
The state of North Carolina went back and changed all of their ordinances in the 160D area governing how municipalities can apply land use ordinances, and our ordinances have to comply with what the statutes in 160D permit. So we've had to go back. Most of it has been editorial changes of language and so forth that the state wants to see in those municipal ordinances, and it requires a public hearing. So this is kind of a routine process where, again, we'll have a public hearing over some of these changes in the 160D section of ordinances, but I think we're getting to the end of making all of these changes, and then that becomes a part of our code of ordinances.
You let me know that before the taping, the community plan has been postponed, that presentation for the September meeting.
That's right. At our last board meeting, that was presented to the board Since then, there's been changes to the draft, which requires that the planning board needs to look at some of those proposed changes. They will look at them, and then they will come to the full town board. So we'll start doing that review process in the September meeting in August.
Wanted to save this for last. You're going to have a closed session, and pardon me for laughing, the issues on the short-term rentals, and it's going to go in front of the commissioners.
I know that there are plenty of rumors in town what's going on with short-term rentals. We've had a number of neighborhood associations start coming together to form a coalition. Several weeks ago, a group came in with very knowledgeable attorneys, and they gave the mayor and the town manager a briefing on what they thought were the legal positions the town could take concerning short-term rentals. We appreciated their work and their involvement and interest, and I made a commitment to them, and our town manager did the same. And here's the commitment. We said we would share their brief and analysis with our town attorney. The town attorney will then look at the situation and what they think we should do, and what he thinks based on his knowledge of North Carolina, what we should do. And we're going to go into closed session to where we can have attorney-client privilege discussion about what are the options. I believe our town attorney is going to want us to pick a course of action. He will present several legal options for the town board to consider. So I'm anticipating that to be a very helpful process, and it will then be a decision on the part of the board as to how we want to address the issue of short-term rentals, especially in the residential areas. I want to hear what our attorney advises the board to do. And then, of course, the board will have to discuss this and make a decision on what course they would like to follow in addressing this issue. I've told some of the neighborhood groups, do not expect us to come out of closed session and have an ordinance ready to pass. That's not the way it'll work. It will simply be a decision, a directive that might be given to our town attorney and our town staff to develop an ordinance or a set of policies and ordinances in a certain direction, which would then have to go through, again, legal review. It would have to go before the planning board for their review, and then it would come back to the town board for a review and a decision. It's going to be a while before we come to resolution on this issue, but what is good, in my opinion, is that we are taking action now. We are now in a mode of making a decision on how we want to address this very controversial and difficult issue of short-term rentals. And I will just say this right now, and this is part of being an elected official. Any decision the board makes, somebody's not going to like. Some people will be pleased if we go in one direction. Other people will not. There's legal issues and possible lawsuits in any option that we pursue. That's why we're wanting to consult with our town attorney and get his advice. I know that this is going to be an issue that will be controversial, and it will be an issue that will not please everyone.